everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass here at the KVOI studios. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, January the 10th, 2017. A beautiful day in Tucson, Arizona. Most of the rest of the country would love to be where we are right now. We are coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, and we've got worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and on the station's fine website, kvoi.com. And then, of course, we have all of our podcasts. My fine assistant, Rosemary Brandt, makes sure that usually within an hour or two, we've got the full show posted at buckmastershow.com. We have a lot to talk about. As usual, a very content-rich program. And we're going to begin today by going up to the state capitol. Andrea D'Alessandro is the Democratic state senator from Legislative District Number 2, and she is on the Buckmaster Show live line. I want to bring her in for her reaction to yesterday's start of the legislative session and Governor Ducey's State of the State address. Senator, how are you today?
Very, very well. Happy New Year. Happy to be with you. Yesterday, I liked a lot of what the governor said, but there are a lot of questions about how he's going to accomplish it and what strings are attached to it. I'm an education senator. It's my primary goal. And over again, we see, I say it's akin to doing the hokey pokey. You know, you put your left hand in and you put your left hand out. So what they do is they cut, and then they restore, and then they pat themselves on the back and pretend they're driving in on a white horse to be the hero of the event. We saw this happen last year with JTED, and now, you know, I wholeheartedly support raises for teachers and some of the other initiatives. You know, Legislative District 2, more than one-third of the children live in poverty, so extra money to schools in low socioeconomic areas is very, very important to me. But, you know, they have really slaughtered the funding for K-12, and, you know, it's a situation that they created. I was a math teacher, so I'm very enjoy looking at pie charts and things like that. Most of our money in the state comes from the sales tax that everybody pays regardless of their income. And then the second source is individual income taxes. And the corporate is just a very sliver of the pie. And it's going down each year. It's really a sliver. And so with these ineffective corporate tax cuts, they've reduced the revenue coming into the general fund, and this is hurting, public education and other things that we need to fund.
So those who have not been following this very closely, we should say the centerpiece of the governor's hour-long address was the promise of increased state aid and higher teacher pay. But of course, there were no specifics, and I say of course because the budget will not be released until Friday. So the obvious question is, where will the money come from and how much increase will go to teachers?
Yes, you know, that's it. And we, you know, poll after poll is showing that the governor is not doing well in polling with the citizens. He's not doing well with women. And we're very anxious to see what strings are attached to any of these plans. You know, and the devil really is in the detail. Yesterday, the Democrats literally stood with the governor at several of his comments, and that we hope that we'll be able to stand with him on Friday when the details of the budget are released. You know, Bill, the Democrats have always had public education as a top priority, and we're very anxious to work across party lines and with the governor to improve public education. the funding to public education. You know, I would like to say this because sometimes people misinterpret my words. I visit schools in Pima and Santa Cruz County all the time, and I'm always so impressed by the hardworking teachers and what they accomplish in their classrooms under challenging circumstances, you know, with older books and maybe not having enough computers and having children that come from really challenged families because the economic renewal hasn't hit Southern Arizona as much as we would like.
Can you take a quick call here before we let you go?
Yes, I'd be delighted to, Bill.
David would like to talk about schools and impact fees.
Yeah, I've done a little research, and the legislature won't allow schools to charge impact fees. Of course, developers could pay voluntarily a small token impact fee to get out of required to pay more substantial impact fees. So when they delisted the pig mail and the explosion of development flooded the Marana schools with enrollment, they sent a flyer to everybody saying they're going to have to build a new school every year. Please vote for the budget override. Well, I voted no on it. Guess how much my taxes went up? They went from $1,500 to over $5,000.
Okay, David, your quick question, please.
Right.
Or go ahead, Senator.
Well, David, thank you so much for your question. You know, there is a misconception that growth pays for itself. It doesn't. When there are communities developed, that they need resources like roads and schools, and I think it's only fair for developers to pay impact fees, but they don't pay it directly to the school. They would pay it to the municipality or to the county, not directly to the schools. But I do appreciate your question.
What about the Democrats wanting Arizona's tax for schools extended? Could you summarize that very quickly for us?
Yes. The 301 money, the inflation money, will go away, I believe it's 2021, but we would like to get that settled now rather than wait for the future to make sure that we have stability and consistency going forward.
How do you think that's going to be received?
Well, you know, the polling shows that overwhelmingly the voters of Arizona support more funding to public schools. They realize the funding has been slaughtered over the last several years, and people support their public schools, whether it's a charter school or a neighborhood traditional public school, and they really know that the legislature in the past has given them, you know, the short end of the stick. And the most important resource we have in Arizona is our students.
How was the reception? I've kind of heard mixed things about maybe the applause wasn't as enthusiastic as it normally is. How did you gauge the reception to the governor's one-hour-long address yesterday?
Well, from where I sat, pretty close to the front, and what I observed of people standing, I felt it was more welcomed by the Democrats than I was looking at some of my Republican colleagues, and I'm not sure, you know, where they were. And you know, Bill, we also had the most stringent TANF bill in the country, with giving people 12 months, and the Democrats only 12 months tax assistance to families, and now the governor is saying to put it up to 24 months, which is reasonable, and we really protested cutting it to 12, and they're saying that they want people to be out looking for a job. Well, that is one of the current requirements, so I'm not sure how that string helps anything.
And I think that extending it to 24 months is where there is some resistance among those in Governor Ducey's own party. And perhaps that's why, maybe for that portion of the speech anyway, some of your colleagues in the legislature were not giving that big reception to the governor.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle are very much supporters of school choice. And, you know, I support the tradition. I support school choice, but where I differ is I don't believe we should be sending taxpayers' hard-earned money to private and religious schools. You know, I think that parents have the right to send their children to those schools, but there are a lot of economic injustices, and, you know, maybe that could be our next topic when I call in again.
Because all right.
The school tuition organizations aren't good to districts like mine in LD2.
Senator D'Alessandro, thank you very much. Hope the session is off to a good start for you, and you have a good week. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thanks a lot. Andrea D'Alessandro, Legislative District Number 2, State Senator. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Green Things. Our friends over at Green Things, Jan and Jack, the owners, they have taken, well, the original 4-acre property, they've expanded it to 13. It's just a beautiful piece of land now, what they've done with it. They're at 3384 East River Road. Go over there and check it out. I think you will really be very impressed with what you see just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com is the website. The website also has this weekend's workshops. They're free workshops for all of you gardeners, Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. at Green Things. Be right back. Shelley Fishman's with me in studio, and he just gave me a thumbs down. That means the market has now turned to the negative side. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday at noon, traffic at TIA is on the upswing. We'll have our quarterly Tucson Air Service update, plus Jack Chalom, the nutrition reporter, all happening on Buckmaster on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. And we've got worldwide live listening podcasts and our show archive at buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And here he is, Mr. Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how is the new year going so well for you?
So far, not too bad.
I said so well, anticipating.
You made the assumption.
It's going well. It is, the market has been sort of up and down, a little roller coaster action here.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been terribly volatile, but in terms of the size of the swings,
right.
But it has been swinging, and it looks like that 20,000 Dow mark is a resistance level that the market is just having a little problems with. And as we discussed last week, part of that is the stuff that people anticipated was going to happen and was going to move markets that resulted from the Trump election. It's kind of priced in now. I mean, we got it in the couple of weeks right after the election.
And last week here on the program, I was expecting Shelley Fishman to make his annual prediction here on the program, where he feels in the next 12 months we will be in that what kind of territory. But Shelley surprised me and probably our listeners by saying he's not ready to make a recommendation at this point.
That's right. The problem, Bill, is there's so much uncertainty about so many things that it's hard to make an intelligent guess around what will happen over the next 12 months. If we can make some assumptions about where the Trump administration is going to go and where they will be allowed to go by the Republicans in Congress, then we're likely to see some stimulative effect in the economy and some improvement, at least in several sectors of the economy, in terms of profitability. That said, that comes with some cautions. And those cautions have to do with interest rates and inflation. And the strength of the U.S. dollar against the other major currencies of the world. If there's a perception that the U.S. economy is firming up and moving well ahead of our trading partners, then we're going to see continuously increasing strength of the dollar against the pound, against the euro, and against the yen. Let's put the yen aside for a while because they're having their own problems there in terms of how to manage that economy, and those problems have been going on for a while now. But I just checked. As of a couple of minutes ago, the euro was at $1.05.
Uh-huh.
Now, a couple of years ago when I was in Greece, it was $1.65.
Yes.
That'll give you some indication of the difference. So when you have a dollar that strong, it makes it much more difficult for our manufacturers to export. And if you have a national trade policy that is changing to discourage imports and encourage exports, that fact of the economy is going to work against that policy. So that is something where you get policy kind of pulling at both ends of the same rubber band and not knowing where to go. The pound is $1.21 right now. I can never remember the pound at being $1.21. But that's going to hurt our exports, and it's going to make it very difficult for President Trump to implement some of the things he wants to implement, which would be, of course, to encourage exports and to discourage imports.
Shelley, can you take a question from one of our Buckmaster Show listeners who sent an email to me at bill@buckmastershow.com? This is from Scott, and he asked, please ask Shelley what his thought is on high-yield corporate bond funds as part of one's portfolio for 2017. He mentions a specific family, and I don't know if we want to mention
that. No, we don't.
We don't, so that's why.
In fact, there are some restrictions on my even dealing with
that
question.
So if you would
let me state what LPL stated last week.
Perfect.
And what I believe to be true, with people seeking higher yields and the potential for interest rates going up and inflation going up a little bit, what's going to happen is we're going to see a flat bond market in general, so that the longer you go out, in terms of the duration of bonds and the bonds in a bond fund, the more you're likely to catch the benefits of volatility, because in a flat market, you're not going to make anything but what's stamped on the bond. So if the bond is a 2% bond or 3% bond, that's what you're going to get. If, however, you get the benefits of some volatility in some of these high-yield funds, especially where the bonds that are contained in those funds are out 15, 20, 25 years, then you might be able to bend that bond yield curve a little bit and do a little bit better than what you might expect. So I would say that if you have fixed income in your portfolio, if it is a major part of what you and your advisor have decided should be part of your portfolio, then high yield, not necessarily junk, but high yield funds, especially those with a longer duration, should work themselves into your mix. And in fact, that's both on the qualified side, which would be taxable bond funds, because in a qualified account you don't care, and high yield muni bond funds for the non-qualified side of the account. And you know, I've seen some of these things paying in the 7% and 8% range, which in today's market is not a bad return.
No,
at all.
Not at all. Thank you, Shelley, for answering.
Great question.
Good question from Scott. What about rate increases this year from the Fed? What are we thinking of?
Well,
how many?
We're
increases?
Hearing.
What are we hearing?
We're hearing 2 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
And the real question is, what is going to be the propensity of the Fed to normalize? And by normal, I mean, we're at about 0.7% today in the overnight rate and the short-term rate. Bringing that rate to 2% would bring it to the point where it's considered to be normal. Now, if you do that too quickly, you're going to attract, quite frankly, too much business from Europe in terms of people buying, Europeans and Chinese and others buying our bonds. So one of the things, again, the danger, the exposure that we have when too many of countries that we don't necessarily consider to be our allies or friends are holding too much of our bonds, too much of our debt, you get problems with them having too much leverage in terms of determining our policies around a number of things, but trade being the most prominent one. The other thing you've got to worry about is pulling money out of, say, the eurozone that needs to stay in the eurozone in order for them to continue to develop and grow. Now, why do we care about that? Because they're our largest trading partner. Mm-hmm. So all of this really is a matter of balance. The other problem that we have is over the past 7 or 8 years, our deficit has grown from about $11 trillion to almost 19. But the deficit actually come down as a percentage of GDP, especially as we're adding to it every year. Now, that's not going to stay that way. But once we start replacing debt that because bonds mature, and if those bonds are at, you know, at 2% or 1.8 or 1.7%, if we start replacing 10-year debt with 2.5%, 3%, 3.5% debt, then our ability to pay the interest on the national debt becomes problematic. Not that we can't do it. We print money. We can do anything we want to. But then we get into the flip side of the coin, Bill, where some of the people who are willing to invest in our debt become afraid that we might inflate our way out of the value of that money. And so even though you hear, you know, and the politics is always one side or the other, the truth of the matter is that world economy is a very delicate balancing act. So I see two raises this year, and I see them as being small, 25 basis points each.
All right, Shelley, good session. And Scott had a good question for us. Good segment, Shelley. Thank you very much. Hope you have a great week.
You too, Bill. See you next week.
Thanks a lot. Shelley Fishman, you can find out more about him, buckmastershow.com, a direct link to my friend.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Hey, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman from 5-Star Termite and Pest Control. You got bugs? They driving you up the wall? I'm telling you, you will not be sorry. You call my friend Shelby Hawkins at 886-0045. They are more than competent. They're very economical. And check this out. They're friendly to our environment. 886-0045.
We're 5-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Want to tell you about the many recreation opportunities, places like City of Rocks State Park, with incredible volcanic rock formations sculpted by 30 million years of erosion. That's near the Silver City, Grant County area. So the full listing of the many things to do listed at southwestnewmexico.org. Not only the listing of the things to do, but once you get to Silver City in Grant County, there's some great places to stay, and those are listed as well. We send so many of our listeners from the Buckmaster Show over there. Everybody says the same thing. Thank you, Bill. We had a great time, and that's what we hope everyone will do. Check it out. 3 hours east of Tucson. We're going to talk more now about education. We began talking about the governor's speech, and the centerpiece for that speech, State of the State, was getting teachers more money. And we're going to pick up on that. We began by talking with State Senator Andrea D'Alessandro, a lawmaker reacting to the state of the state. Now we're going to get the reaction from our education contributor, who is with us once a month on the program, Talking Education, Dr. Robert Hendricks, the Associate Professor Emeritus at the UA College of Education. He's a former superintendent of Flowing Wells School District, a one-time top school superintendent of the year here in the state. Can I still say Happy New Year to you? This is the first time.
You can.
Let's hope it's a Happy New Year. Everyone's talking about education. The governor didn't really say where the money to pay new teachers would come from. We're supposed to wait, I guess, till Friday when the budget is released.
Yeah, it was a great headline, though, Bill, in the Star this morning, and it says he wants more funding for schools. And I guess the bottom line question for everyone is, where is that money going to come from, particularly when he also says as part of his message that he's not going to raise taxes. So if we're going to
shift— Which leads you to believe there's a problem there somewhere,
yeah, if we're
right?
going to shift yeah. some money, I'm not sure where it's going
where
to
come
from.
Where is it
going
to come from?
But, you know, I applaud him for the message, and we'll applaud him even more. It'll be standing applause if he delivers. You know, We are in a tough situation in Arizona. There was an article that was on MSN last week, which headlined the 75 worst paying cities for high school teachers.
Oh my goodness!
And guess what?
Tucson
is number three.
Oh my! In
number
the nation,
three.
We're number three.
Number one in the nation.
Oh no!
We're 43% below the national average, and so when the governor says, yes, we need more funding for education, we absolutely do. We absolutely do. Great that Proposition 123 passed. That moved the needle a little bit for us in terms of our ranking. But we're still in the bottom quartile, the very bottom quartile, the bottom 25% of rankings, you know, in the nation. And so we need to do something to inject more money into teachers' hands.
And the governor talked about bonuses or signing bonuses. This is not new, is it, in Arizona?
It isn't. There are a lot of rural districts, districts that are hard-pressed for talent who have offered those bonuses in the past. Nogales, Bava Kiveri are two examples of districts that have offered, you know, somewhere between $1,000 to $2,000, you know, early signing bonus, you know, one-time bonus.
Does it help? Does it pay off for these districts?
Has it I been don't your know if they have the evidence that it does yeah. or not. I mean, maybe it it will attract them initially, but the question to me is always, will it retain them? Will teachers stay, you know, after you know, after the additional money is given.
One thing that's not getting a lot of headlines, but it was part of the governor's speech, and it did pertain to education, Bob Hendricks, was the governor wanting to change the process of certifying teachers. He says that process is broken. What's your experience in that regard? Is it broken?
I don't think it's broken. I think that probably The thing that seems to have evolved in the last decade are more alternative certification programs. The fact that there has to be some kind of formal training or some kind of process for someone going in the classroom is absolutely necessary, in my opinion. Now, whether it needs to look like what it is right now, I think that's subject to discussion and debate. But there needs to be some gateway to the profession. There are gateways to other professions. You know, we just don't let anyone into a practicing profession where you're supposed to have a skill set. And so certification has a relationship to teacher skill set. And, you know, I'm certainly open to looking at it, but I'm not quite sure what he's suggesting there.
What do you see then as this big issue that's going to be, regardless of what the budget numbers are going to be Friday, what is the issue that is going to be with us regardless in this whole debate over getting more teachers here?
Well, it's, you know, it really gets down to money, you know, and it's you can sugarcoat it any way you want, but, you know, if you're not going to be able to put more dollars in teachers' pockets in Arizona, they're going to go elsewhere. They're leaving. We have a lot of evidence that they're coming out of our colleges of education, and they're going to other states where they're lured by higher salaries, and you can't blame them. And so we've got to find ways to put more dollars in teachers' pockets. But I think there's a few things the governor didn't talk about as well, and
what
that
are
is
those items?
We have a we have schools in the state that are aging and decaying, and we're not replenishing the dollars to take care of that. And there
You're
was
talking
a
about the maintenance of schools, which is mandated, I believe, that the state is supposed
they are
to oversee.
There's a
that,
facility
right?
board, but the problem is that the money has not been put back in the coffers. In fact, the facility board is running very lean at this point, and so school districts that have schools that they've tried to care for, but they're 30, 40, 50 years old.
The infrastructure's just become terrible.
Absolutely. They're aging, they're deteriorating, and it's through nobody's fault, but they need capital money for that. Now,
would
the governor,
you have liked to have seen the governor talk about that?
I would have liked to
have
seen him
talk
about
that. That was not
that.
Mentioned.
It isn't. Now, he has mentioned on previous occasions a program called Achievement Schools. And this is a program where the state might lend money at a favorable rate to school districts that are in need of additional capital. This might be attractive. He's saying that that this proposal would be given only to high-achieving school districts, you know, regardless of income. But if they're high-achieving, they might be able to have some financial incentives for capitalization.
You said there was another item too that you did not hear from the governor.
Well, I heard a bit about funding full day kindergarten, mm-hmm. but I also heard sort of an asterisk to that, and that is only low income school districts. And the problem is that school districts across the state have stepped up and funding out of their own resources without the additional funding formula that the states typically provide. They're funding a lot of at least half the day of kindergarten to make it a full day experience. And that needs to be for every child in the state, not just low income children. Every child should have the opportunity and the privilege of a full-day kindergarten experience.
Does research show that full-day kindergarten gets good results?
It does.
Pays off
it
later on.
It absolutely does. There's an abundance of research in the literature about early childhood education programs that are really important for the formative development of children.
So in summary, Dr. Robert Hendricks, we are at a kind of wait-and-see stage, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm anxious for Friday to come around. Mm-hmm. We're going to hear some numbers, I think, and we're going to see what the governor is talking about. He's saying he wants to fund beyond the inflation formula, but that, you know, that's less than 2%. So, you know, that's not going to get us where we need to be. But again, I want to see him move forward. I know he's
the polling shows people do want something done about education.
They do. And, you know, the governor has spent a lot of time in schools in this past year, mm-hmm. in public schools and in private as well as publicly chartered schools. Mm-hmm. And I think there's been a learning curve for him. I'm hoping this will help move education forward.
Dr. Robert Hendricks, always a pleasure. We will see you in February, and by then we'll know certainly a lot more. I hope we know a lot more about where we're going. Thank you very much, Bob. Good to see you. All right, coming up next, our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report with Margaret Regan, the longtime arts writer for the Tucson Weekly. That is next on Buckmast.
At the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, we've been caring for homeless pets for over 72 years. But as we've grown, our campus hasn't, and our pets and staff are crowded in run-down, dilapidated buildings. The need for a new campus is critical. The homeless pets in our care need healthier, stress-free space, and we need room to expand the important work of adoption and education. Please help us build our own forever home. Visit hssaz.org and donate today, because we're all in this together.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Our arts report is sponsored by the crown jewel of downtown, the historic Fox Tucson Theater. And again this year, Fox Theater is proud to be hosting 3 Tucson Jazz Festival shows. This Friday, January 13th, Storm Large and her band will be performing. Then on the 19th, that's a Thursday, Tucson Jazz Festival presents the National Endowment for the Arts Jazz Master and 10-time Grammy Award winner, this is a big name, George Benson, coming to town. On Friday, January the 20th, the phenomenal jazz continues with Dee Dee Bridgewater, with openers Lewis Nash and the Taj Ellington Band. So there's a lot of great jazz coming to the Fox. And by the way, on January 21st, that's a Saturday, the Fox welcomes the Fab Four, the ultimate Beatles tribute. So there's a lot of great entertainment coming up. For more information, to view the full schedule of Fox Tucson Theater shows and to purchase tickets, visit foxtucson.com. Let's welcome now Margaret Regan. Margaret is the author of 2 prize-winning books on immigration, the most recent book doing very well for her, published last year, Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire. She is a longtime journalist here in Tucson. She started writing about the border in the year 2000, and she started writing for the Tucson Weekly about the arts. She's been a writer there since like 1990, I believe. Margaret Regan, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
Did you have a lovely holiday?
I did, and I even took a week off from writing an art review.
So wonderful.
That was nice. I had lots of family visiting. It was really wonderful.
Good for you to just unplug and enjoy life.
Absolutely.
On the way to work, I pass the Tucson Botanical Gardens every morning, and I see today there were cars everywhere. This show, the Frida Kahlo show there, is a blockbuster.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is unusual for the Tucson Botanical Gardens. Usually their art shows are, you know, nice shows, but confined to an indoor gallery. This is an exhibition that kind of takes over the entire gardens. And as you've seen driving by, you know, they have that blue Frida Kahlo wall out front.
Yeah.
They got a local, I think it was Dunn Edwards, contributed the paint to absolutely duplicate the blue paint on Frida's famous Casa Azul in Mexico City. So it's an unusual exhibition in that, in a sense, it's not really an art exhibition. And we have to caution listeners that there are no Frida Kahlo original paintings there. There are some photographs, beautiful color photographs of her taken in the 1930s by a Hungarian photographer named Nicholas Murray. But this show is about the relationship between plants and her art, and how her art was really inspired, particularly by indigenous Mexican plants. Have you been to Mexico City, Bill, to see the Casa Azul?
Yes, I have. I have been to Mexico City and seen some of the Frida Kahlo originals.
Yeah. It's an amazing house, as you'll recall. Well, it's so interesting to learn. I mean, there's a lot of information there, you know, what you're not really seeing the art, but they could tell you a lot of stuff about her. Casa Azul was the house that she was born in 1904. Her father was a German, you know, and her mother was a mestiza, both of Spanish and indigenous heritage. And they were, like many people of the middle classes, you know, very interested in European culture. And that house, if you see the pictures at the gardens, at the botanical gardens, it was a very French-style house, at least on the outside. Well, you know, Frida and her off-and-on-again husband, Diego Rivera, like many Mexican artists of the period, embraced what they called indigenismo,
uh-huh.
you know, indigenous aesthetic and Mexicanidad, you know, Mexicanness. So, I mean, what was really exciting in Mexico City, and Frida and Diego were both part of that, was this explosion of really inventive modernism, but inspired by indigenous aesthetics. So she used her house and her gardens as kind of a laboratory for those shifts. They changed the outside of the house to look far more Mexican. They put these big bands of color. They eliminated the French ornamentation. And then the gardens, they got rid of her parents' ivy and roses and those kinds of, you know, non-native plants and went for these extraordinary Mexican, you know, agaves and cactus, marigolds. So, and then you'll see in a lot of her paintings, as you saw in the house when you've been there, they have a lot of her original paintings. She used her gardens as a laboratory for her painting, and, you know, many of these plants appeared in her work, and they all have, you know, symbolic indigenous meanings. So the garden has sort of a little replica of the house set up. It's kind of open air. There's a pyramid in there. Apparently Diego built a pyramid to hold his pre-Columbian sculptures, which also inspired his painting. And you can walk through the gardens, and they have plants tagged as Mexican plants that Frida might have had in her house. And some of them, they'll tell you, this particular plant appears in this particular painting, and this is the reason why. These were the meanings behind it. So it's quite interesting to absorb all this. It's really kind of a whole, it's like a study in Frida rather than, you know, looking at her art.
You'll be writing about this this week, correct?
Well, I already wrote it, and it will be in the paper. Well, it'll be online tomorrow night, Wednesday night. It will be in the Tucson Weekly print edition on Thursday.
What's going on at Davis Dominguez?
Oh, well, that's another show. Now, that's an American modernist, a guy named Lee Chesney, who's a pretty well-known artist in Los Angeles, and he has shown at Davis Dominguez over the years. He died a year ago at the age of 96, and according to Candace Davis of the gallery, he was painting up until the bitter end, and they have these beautiful, large, abstract expressionist paintings by him in the gallery. They chose works from the 80s and 90s, the gallerists, which they thought that was really his best period. And they're really spectacular, just, you know, pure beauty, all color, shapes, forms, very large paintings. And he uses all different kinds of painting techniques, you know, dry splatters, staining, you know, with very wet, thin paint, and then very thick paint. So it's kind of a message, a lesson in what you can do with paint, and it's a reminder of sort of the great American achievement of abstract expressionists. So it's really a fun show, and that's up until the end of January.
And you had a roundup of really modernist and these contemporary exhibitions, not only at Davis Dominguez, but at Philibom, that ran in the weekly, the week of December 29th.
Yeah, the idea was that there's stuff you can do out there, you guys, with your family and friends. So I thought, you know, I was going to just, you know, do a roundup of the various galleries, and I found a kind of a theme going that these people, many shows of very bright color and very modernist looking things. So Philibom, that was fun. There are two artists from out of town, one from Santa Fe, one from Montana, who had never shown in the gallery before. And, you know, Philibom, you can learn endlessly about the different varieties of glass art. These two do something called fusion work. You know, Tom Philibom, typically, if you've ever seen him down there, he's got a big stick with molten glass.
Oh, yes.
He sticks in the furnace. And then he shapes it. He spins that stick. So everything's very, very hot the whole time. This is a form of glass art where you start out with cold layers of glass. So that's what these two do. It's called cold fusion.
All right, I'm gonna have to let you go here, but quickly.
No, okay.
I know it goes very quickly. coming up with the presidential inauguration, University of Arizona Museum of Art through January 22nd, they have an exhibit. What is that one about?
The Presidential Series by Alfred Quiroz, who's a very politically oriented painter who went to the U of A, and he's a longtime professor there. And he does sort of caricatures, bright colors, and he makes these giant paintings, very historical paintings, well-researched about the many foibles of our presidents over the centuries.
All righty.
So that was timely for the inauguration.
Very timely. Margaret Regan, thank you very much. We'll look for your work in the Tucson Weekly. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Margaret Regan with us at least once a month here talking arts on our historic Fox Tucson Theater presenting the Buckmaster Show Arts Report. And they've got three Tucson Jazz Festival shows. This Friday, we've got Storm Large and her band. Then next Thursday, January 19th, it's George Benson, and he's such a huge name. It's great to have him in town. And then we have on Friday, January 20th, the phenomenal jazz continuing with D.D. Bridgewater. So that's going to be a great show. So there's a lot going on at the Fox. And if you love the Beatles, they've got a great tribute show, the Fab Four, the Ultimate Beatles Tribute, Saturday, January 21st. So for more information, to view the full schedule of Fox Tucson Theater shows and to purchase tickets, visit foxtucson.com. All right, coming up this afternoon, Mike Check with Mr. Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. They've put together a great hour for you from 4 to 5. And then we do 4 hours of local talk from 6 to 10 here in the morning. 3 hours, we wake up Tucson, then talking culture 9 to 10. Me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you at noon. Put it all together, Ray Allen. We figured out from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., half of our talk is local content. We love it. Have a great afternoon and evening.